Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I laid an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is The Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon. We survived the holiday. It's kind of a bummer being back at work. If we're all being honest, we don't want to be at work, right? We want to be back enjoying Thanksgiving, eating turkey in the tryptophan, what would you call it, like coma?
Some of us had ham.
Well, I wasn't going to get into that last week for fear of
appreciate that issues about you.
But I feel badly that you had to have ham. And I still do have quite a bit of turkey. We had a 21-pound turkey that too big. But you know what we did with it yesterday? We made, Becky made, and she cobbled a few recipes online together and made like a white bean chili.
Oh, that's
with the
nice.
Leftover. It was delicious. Dave Klein, how'd you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
Not enough time off.
Yeah.
Man, we're all back.
We get it.
And now the countdown to Christmas, which is hard, hard not to think about that.
Well, and it's only 3 weeks away, basically, right?
Yeah.
Is that if Thursday would
my
be
kids,
Saturday?
My kids ask
Saturday.
The Alexa every morning, how many days until Christmas? And they love getting
how
the
many
answer.
That is
how many
days?
You're 26 now.
Yeah, right. It's gonna, yeah. And it'll be here before you know it. And I think we all have some time off around Christmas. But we did. So it was. I didn't know what to do with myself on Friday because I had the day off, and that was very unusual. But we enjoyed the weekend, had a good time. Here's a bummer of a story, though. And we got to talk about a lot of things here today. We have a win for Missouri and other states when it comes to the vaccine requirements. The Attorney General of our state, Eric Schmidt, is going to join us here in a few minutes. We have this new, and I keep wanting to call it Omicron, this new variant that's out there. Everybody is, just calm down, okay? Everybody needs to calm down and take a deep breath. It took me about 9 months during this pandemic. I think it was probably last fall when I finally, maybe it was in the spring, quite honestly, where I finally said, you know what, enough is enough. All this crap that you see on the front page, you hear the panic in the streets, it's everything's going to be okay. Now, that doesn't mean you just ignore it and, you know, this thing doesn't exist. But right now, what we know about it isn't that bad. You know, we got lockdowns from Africa and 8 nations. All this is, by the way, coming on the heels of that story that I told you about in Zimbabwe that nobody's heard of. And I told you, like, in Zimbabwe, it barely exists, and they don't understand why. But I'll get to all of that, and we have a bunch of audio here this afternoon. Dave knows this story, Sue, and I'm going to share it with you, and I'll share it with the audience, because a good portion of the audience here is going to at least be familiar with the person that I'm going to talk about. And Dave was the guy that was handling his phone calls years ago. So when I was on the KMOX side for all those years, you know, I moved over here in the spring. You develop relationships with callers. You have regular
sure.
callers.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a guy that would call, and he identified himself as Chris in the country. And he was a Dave. He was a great caller, right?
We absolutely.
You know, now
what
we
was
always,
his thing? You know what I mean?
Well, he. What was his thing?
You know what I'm asking. Yeah. What did he call about? What were his topics?
Well, it was always politics and Trump, and he was early in on Trump, and this is where this story is going. So he loved Trump. He kept telling me how wrong I was. So for months leading up to the election, because I didn't think Trump, my case back then, not that it's a big mystery as far as how often I'm wrong, okay, was he can't win this electorally. I didn't see a path for him to win Pennsylvania, right? I didn't see a path for him to win enough electoral votes. And so I thought there's no chance. He doesn't have a chance. So a month before the election, Chris in the Country, as he was known when he would call the show, called, and I said, Chris, I said, I'm so confident, because that's how stupid I am, I'm so confident that Trump is not going to win this election that if he wins, I will shave my head on the air if that happens, right?
That would never happen.
Well,
I mean, you would bet that, but then never do it.
Well,
That's very accurate, Sue.
Is it? Mm-hmm.
Yes. What happened was the day after the election, and I'm just going to tell you the whole honest story here because, look, I was willing to do it, and I was panicking. I was going to be, this is laughable when you think about it, was going to be inducted the following weekend into the Parkway Hall of Fame, which actually did happen. And I thought, my whole fear was, can I deal with a shaved head for a few months during the winter? I think I can.
Yes.
I can wear hats.
Yes.
But if I go up to that, you know, that induction, it would have been a fun story. I'm quite fond of my hair. I'm very much worrying about it.
But Mark Cox did it, and he's no more fond than you are, believe me.
He doesn't have his cool hair. Let's be honest. Is his hair as cool as mine? No. Not even close. Come on, Dave.
No, yours is pretty good.
What I'm saying is hair attachment, whose hair is cooler. He is as attached to his hair as you are to yours. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So Chris calls the following day after the election, and the first thing that he says is, dude, you don't have to shave your head.
I was so mad when he
said that.
Thank you, Dave. I would have been really upset.
I still hear about, not only do I still, this is very ironic and sad, because unfortunately the story is not going in a great direction. I'm going to tell you what happens here. So I think even, I had some friends that came in town from Columbia. Their family is here, and they swung in on us on Thursday. That was a funny story, too, because I checked in with my friend Mo Lewis from BXR in Columbia. I said, hey, you guys going to be in town? He said, I might try to swing by, but, you know, mom might not be crazy if I clear the room. Understand. So then at, you know, 12:30 on Thursday, I get a call from his wife. Hey, we'll be there in 15 minutes. And the last time that I had contact was, well, we may come over. Anyway, I think Robin even referenced my head shave on Thanksgiving on Thursday. So Thanksgiving goes by, everything's fine. Friday, I've long not liked Facebook Messenger very much. I don't like it. It's annoying. People shoot me messages. Sometimes I'm not even ignoring them. I just don't see them, right? I do not see the messages. But I got up very early on Saturday morning, and I saw a message that had come in. And there's a weird twist here. There's several kind of weird things that have happened. But come to find out, I should also give some background here. Okay, so Chris and I then became friends. I'm going to try not to skip over all the details here because I think they're important. He lets me off the hook. I say, well, let's go to a Cardinals game. It actually took us a year to execute that. He came in on the round table. He said, and we have become friends. We've hung out a few times. He came over to my house over the summer. He's gone through a rough time. He had gone through a divorce. He's got a 12-year-old girl. I know how much he loves this little girl. And I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he said, look, he was having a tough time. I said, let's get through Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll get together. So another weird twist in this is that, and we didn't find this out for several years, so I probably get to know him in 2016. He had been calling the show for a while. His mother and I graduated from high school together. So he's 48 years old. Wait, not, I can't be 40. I'm so confused by that. Some of this doesn't make sense, and I'll explain
you
that in a second.
You and his mother graduated. Okay,
but
well,
the
you're
math
56.
The math doesn't make very much sense there, but I'll circle back. I'll circle back to that in a second. So on Saturday morning, I get a message on Facebook from his mom, and she says, Mark, are you the one from the radio station? This is Chris's mom. Chris was shot in the head.
Oh! I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's what I said. My response was, wait, what? I said, I don't use Messenger very much. My cell, and I gave my cell number. And she called me right away on Saturday morning, and she was crying. Now, here's the story. And I can only tell you what she told me, and there's one little news clipping here, and it's horrifying. But apparently, I don't know if it was the first time he was with a new girl. He was, you know, dating. Might have been the first. I have no idea because this was on Thanksgiving, so I don't know all the details. He ends up somehow at her house. This is in Illinois. It's north of here. I think this happened in Montgomery County. And apparently she had a stalker. And the stalker ambushed them. The girl's dead.
She
was murdered. And Chris is in the hospital in critical condition, not improving since last Thursday. Shot in the head.
I am speechless.
I'm speechless. I don't even know. You know, this has been something I found out just a couple of days ago, and his mom has been communicating with me a little bit.
I'm glad that his mom called
you. He's got complications, you know, pneumonia, some other things, bacteria, because this is what happens. He had moved his fingers and his toes, so there was some movement. But she told me that he was on the floor of that house, the kitchen floor, for like 12 hours.
Oh, geez. I did not know that part.
Yeah, so the news release.
Before he was found?
Wait, so let me help me out here. So he goes to her house. You say you don't. Was it at her house that this happened? And
well,
then
here's,
the stalker?
I'm going to tell you what the story says. The only news story that I found of this is in the State Journal Register, and it says a woman from Troy was killed and a Farmersville man critically wounded, that would be Chris, in a Thanksgiving Day shooting at a Farmersville residence. Farmersville is about 25 miles south of Springfield in Montgomery County. According to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department, Leslie J. Reeves, 45, of Troy, was pronounced dead at a house in the 100 block of Nobby Street on Thursday afternoon. Christopher Smith, 48. This is why I'm confused about the age, because I'm 57. Yeah. So maybe that whole thing about the heist, I don't know. I'm confused about the age here. Maybe they also printed the age wrong. That could be.
That could be.
I'm not sure. Was critically injured, transported to HS St. John's Hospital. It says all the other note is here is the sheriff's office was originally contacted about making a wellness check on a resident. A separate report was made regarding the possibility of a diseased person. So whatever happened at that house, somebody was concerned about who was in the house and whether they were alive. And that's all I have at this point. But that was a shocking story. Now, you know, his mom said, and I want to help with this, if given the opportunity. I don't know the health insurance situation. There might be a GoFundMe. We'll keep people posted on that. But people who listen to this show and have listened to it for years, certainly back to the days of the election in 2016, would certainly remember Chris in the country because he would call and we'd have, you know, a little fun with him and I'd tease him and vice versa because we had a great relationship on the air and again, became friends. So I've talked a lot about perspective. Sue Thomas in the last, you know, just even in the last 6 months, because I have this friend who's going through this situation. Well, I should say my friend is going through the situation. His daughter has childhood leukemia. She's going through the situation, but it's obviously affecting them greatly and they're getting through it. But you think about some of the things that we complain about in our lives. I mean, I don't even know if I'm ever going to see this guy again or be able to talk to him. It's hard for me to believe that there's not significant brain damage given the nature of what happened here.
Is his daughter with grandma?
Boy, I don't know that. You know, I'll try to find that out. But that is, again.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, so that's the only information that I have at this point. Ugh. And it's been, I'm sure, just, a tough situation for his mom and for the family. And I will keep you posted on that for sure. Let's get into some of the things that are going to happen. We have the Attorney General coming up. Dave, don't let me go too long here because I don't want to be late on Eric, but we do have to get to some of the things that the president said today on the variant, because we have this new variant now, the Omicron.
Omicron, just
Omicron?
Like Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta.
Is that what it is?
It's Omicron.
I'm going to go with that.
This variant is a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. We have the best vaccine in the world, the best medicines, the best scientists, and we're learning more every single day. And we'll fight this variant with scientific and knowledgeable actions and speed, not chaos and confusion.
All right. Well, we'll see if that actually happens. But I do want to lower the temperature of everyone in the room because I do think 8 months ago I would have probably been panicking. Like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? I don't think there's any reason to panic. In fact, this is Dr. Angelique Corti, Kotse, chairwoman of the South African Medical Association, trying to dial down this.
The overall patients that was recorded yesterday was around about 3,700. So our positivity rate is 9.2%. It is, yes, it is more than we would have loved it to be. But looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there is no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients.
Well, it's too late for that because CNN and the New York Times and everybody else has decided. I mean, even there are a lot of people on the conservative media side that I think are making people panic at this point. There is no reason to panic. Maybe let's take a deep breath. Here's Dr. Gottlieb.
The key question is whether or not this escapes immunity and whether or not that escape is contributing to its perceived rapid spread. I think that's going to be the key question to nail down, and whether or not the vaccines are protective and whether or not the immunity offered by prior infection with Delta is going to be protective, because that's going to give us a window into how big the risk is here in the United States. But when you look at the data from South Africa, there's a presumption that this just came on the scene very recently. In fact, I think the South Africans are going to update some of the analysis and say that maybe this first emerged in early November. Right now, the presumption is this first emerged in early October.
So I actually have a news story from several months ago where this had emerged. So because all of a sudden it seemed like it was big news this weekend. Well, they've known about it for a little while.
But there's a possibility when you look at the data and the sequences that they put into the databases that they oversampled an initial early cluster. It appears that a lot of those sequences came from one university cluster. And so they're seeing less genetic diversity in some of those early sequences than what you would normally see if you had a more diverse set of patients. And so they're presuming that this is very new, when in fact this might have been circulating for quite some time. If it has been circulating for a longer period of time, what that would suggest is it's probably far more pervasive than what we perceive right now, and it's already broken out.
Yeah, so then the question is, and this is Dr. Makary on Fox, if you're vaccinated, if you have, and this is something that we don't talk about enough, natural immunity.
We don't have any evidence that it's going to evade immunity. 95% of the spike protein is identical to previous variants. So we have a lot of reasons to believe that despite the number of mutations on the Omicron surface, that immunity from vaccination or natural immunity encompasses that. And the new antiviral medications are pan-coronavirus antivirals. So they will work against all variants, and we'll have those very soon.
All right. So again, no need to panic. We have Dr. Buzz Hollander, who's been awesome for me the past several months. He's a family physician on the Big Island in Hawaii. And always is very, I would say, non-emotional about this stuff. He's going to give us just the facts. That comes up a little later. Frank Cusa model this afternoon. CNET executive editor Ian Scher. Did you see that Jack Dorsey has stepped down as the CEO of Twitter?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have noticed if you were on Twitter this morning. Barely anyone was talking about it. We have the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt. Coming up next, big lawsuit win today.
I dropped the ball. You're gone and I'm gone. 3 seats to the wind. Thinking about all I've wasted on you.
Well, we had a federal judge today blocking the president from enforcing the vaccine mandate on thousands of healthcare workers in Missouri and other states. The Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, is with us this afternoon. Mr. Attorney General, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark.
Explain what happened today. And this is only affecting certain states right now, so sort of run through the details and the minutiae on that, if you will.
Yeah, so there's three big lawsuits going on right now. Missouri was the first to file, I think, on each one of them. But a number of states have filed. There's the OSHA private employer vaccine mandate. There is the federal contractor mandate, which affects about 25% of the workforce. And then there is the CMS healthcare worker mandate. So we were the first to file, and today we got a ruling. There are 10 states in our coalition. Missouri led that, got a ruling saying, look, there's no constitutional authority for this. There's no statutory authority for this. So we're halting it. And a good sign of, you know, in the ruling today on the injunction was that we're likely will prevail on the merits, which is sort of the final test. So all these things are going to make their way probably ultimately to the Supreme Court. But this is a good sign. It means that it's a victory for those healthcare workers. It's a victory for hardworking Americans who can make these decisions themselves. And the federal government just simply has no authority to be doing any of this stuff. And we've been talking about this for a while now. It's a fundamental fight about individual liberty and the rule of law and our Constitution. And there's a big win today, that's for sure.
So, and keeping, you know, check in on the flowchart, if you will, just see if this is accurate or not, you tell me. You also had different federal court that placed a hold on the rule, on the OSHA rule, right, with the 100
Correct.
Employees.
So, Correct.
But that and is all a of those, separate ruling.
Yeah, that's a separate ruling. So I think it's important for people to know there's, as I said, there's three big buckets here. There's the private employer OSHA rule. That has been halted. Missouri's a part of that. All of those cases nationally now have been consolidated into one case. That's moving quickly, but there's a halt on that. Now there is a halt on the healthcare worker, and I'm hopeful that there'll soon be a halt on the federal contractor mandate as well. But yeah, this is, look, these are big cases. Like, if just as an observer here of administrative law, what are the powers of the federal government? I mean, these are big debates, and the good news is we're winning.
So the other one I want to ask you about is, I'm a little confused about this. I had Shannon Robinson on last week talking about her case, which seemingly was pretty significant about local health orders. But was that one, Eric, where you guys had to actually argue on the other side? Or is that accurate?
We represent the department. Yeah, and sort of not to get into too much, but we represent the department. The judge has made a sound ruling on that. And we will be enforcing that now, which is essentially, and we'll be going around the state doing this, enforcing it, that these local health, public health, quote unquote, public health bureaucrats just don't have any authority to be doing the things that they're doing. And so, yes, they will be moving forward into that phase here soon.
But is there, and again, I apologize because there's, I don't know how you keep track of it. I certainly can't. There's also a situation where you're going to be in court tomorrow on the St. Louis County mass situation, or is that?
Yeah, it's amazing. All of these fronts, honestly, right. It's, may you live in interesting times, right? But I've been, like, we're leading the country in fighting for individual liberty. And I know I've said that, but objectively we are. We are fighting on every single front where these, where you've got the axis of tyranny here between Tashara Jones and Sam Page, who want to take away people's rights, tell them how to live their lives. We'll be in court again tomorrow. We've beaten Sam Page all throughout this process. And then he went through the, you know, of beating back the mask mandate. He goes back in, tries to do another mask order. It's illegal because under the new state law, he can't do another one or try another one for 6 months. So tomorrow we're in court again to beat that one back. So it's amazing. I mean, it's like, you know, it's remarkable, actually, how these petty COVID tyrants just never want to stop. But I got news for them. I'm going to fight them every step of the way, and we're winning.
On the one tomorrow, is that something where a judge can rule relatively quickly, or you just kind of have to wait and see?
Yeah, so that's our we're asking for another injunction, injunctive relief, essentially, to say that we've beaten you on all these mask mandates before. Your new iteration is illegal, and therefore make it clear that it's not in effect. And so, yes, so we're hopeful that the judge would rule quickly.
Did you by any chance see the story over the weekend about the because I guess you and I would both be considered the crazy, the lunatic. What was the reference from Faisal Khan over the
weekend?
The
lunatic.
The lunatic.
The lunatic fringe.
Yeah,
lunatic fringe. What's interesting about that, Mark, is that's an email that was sent out. In our lawsuit against the county, we have been asking for months for discovery, which means, hey, show us your emails. Show us how you arrived at this decision. What are you basing this on? And they have fought desperately to never let us see those emails. And I think this is a reason why. I bet you there are a bunch of emails like that one that are arrogant, elitist, you know, basically making these decisions not based on science but on politics. So, again, it's another front. We're not going away. And I know they want me to go away. I am not going away.
I love it. Well, and you're winning, I think, which is important. Now, this one's confusing to me. You and I haven't had a chance to speak about it. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt is with me this afternoon. So you offer to the mayor of the city of St. Louis, Tashara Jones, hey, you guys owe us $5 million for a legal settlement. If you spend that money in hiring more police officers in your crime-ridden city, you don't have to pay back that loan. So is that accurate up until this point?
Yeah, so it used to be the state of Missouri would represent the city on certain matters, and there was essentially $5.5 million that's owed to the state from the city of St. Louis. And I didn't run out and do a press conference. I didn't even do a press release on it. We just said, hey, look, the $5.5 million, use it for more police. I care about the city. I represent the city as their attorney general. I care about the men and women of law enforcement. I know how many hundreds of officers they're short. I know that it's the murder capital of the United States. I want to do everything I can to support that as far as, you know, attacking violent crime and protecting citizens. So we said, keep it for the purpose of hiring more police officers.
She won't do it.
And she held a press conference and says, here's my counteroffer. And I was asked about, this is not a negotiation. Like, it's not a negotiation. If it's for more cops, great. If I'm not interested in her pet projects. So, you know, it's sad, honestly, that more police officers doesn't fit into the agenda of the mayor of the murder capital of the United States. It's
so
sad.
So she basically says, okay, we'll take this. This was her counteroffer. If you offer, or if we can use the money for incentives for 911 operators, incentives for officers to get the COVID-19 vaccinations, mental health programs, but not to hire more cops. That's the last thing we'll do, right?
Yeah, of course. Why would she want to hire more cops? It's totally nuts. But it's part and parcel of what's happening. Is that her administration is a total disaster. But she tried to make it a political spectacle, and I think it backfired because people are like, wait a minute, what? Like, they've offered 5.5 or more cops, and you don't want that money? I mean, it's nuts.
All right, one more important topic. Steven Matz to the Cardinals, Scherzer to the Mets today.
Yeah, I thought Scherzer was a long shot. I know, you know, the St. Louis guy, everybody wanted to bring home, but that probably ship sailed 7 years ago or whenever that was. But I don't know. I'm optimistic. They got some money to spend. I mean, the CBA thing now, December 1, is going to complicate these things. But I think they're serious about a shortstop and a starting pitcher. And I guess if we end up with a DH, as much as they don't like it, they can go out and get a big bat. So it could be a big offseason. But I kind of like their train of thought now, but the proof will be in the pudding here soon.
This seemed to be a pretty good pickup, and if you read through maybe later today when you have time, you can hear what Mo said, because if you kind of read the tea leaves a little bit, I think everything that you just indicated is certainly on the table as far as maybe a shortstop or another bat regarding the DH. The DH is coming. I think the only question is it next year or the following, right?
Right, it is, and I don't like it. I'm more of a traditionalist there, but if it's coming, you know, they can add some pop to the lineup. And last year, you know, they definitely needed that. But I tell you what, the young outfielders really stepped up last year with Bader, and Dylan Carlson's a superstar in the waiting, and Tyler O'Neill had a great year. So I think, you know, shortstop, DH, starting pitcher, that's all in the – it's all in the cards.
How was the Schmidt family Thanksgiving?
It was good. So my wife's family's from out of town. They came in, and so we had Thanksgiving with them, and then went up to my parents who – you know, we're still in Bridgeton and where I grew up, and we went up there. And then, so I had a series of Thanksgiving dinners, but it was great. Obviously it was nice to spend time with family, and I'm very blessed, and it's great to take stock on the things that we're grateful for. That's for sure.
Well, listen, thanks for checking in and kind of setting us straight on some of the stuff. It's a little confusing keeping track of the flow chart, but we'll look forward to updates.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, but today was a big win for Liberty, that's for sure.
All right, Eric, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Take care.
Attorney General Eric Schmidt with us this afternoon. And, you know, they are notching victories that are very important when it comes to freedom and liberty. And you're going to hear, you have the traditional sources. I actually think that Lisa Clancy and Sam Page and Tashara Jones and Joe Biden and certainly Kamala Harris, they love Omicron stories or whatever the hell we're going to call it, because they know that they can panic people more, and it makes them feel good to make sure that they have to enforce more masking and, you know, more restrictions. So we'll keep on top of that. Dr. Buzz Hollander this afternoon, he's always really sharp with, you know, interpreting some of this stuff. He's from the Big Island of Hawaii, family practice physician. We've been checking in with him every few weeks or so. He'll join us after 5 o'clock in the next hour. You know, the Jussie Smollett trial is starting. Why that thing's going to trial, I have no idea. Rafael Weigel, who was in Chicago at the time, former Fox News reporter, spent some time here in St. Louis. He's all over that, and will check in with us after Sue's news. Cusimano in the next hour as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So there was a tweet that people certainly focused on. I say people, many conservative outlets. I retweeted it this morning with a question, but it was from CNN yesterday. It said, Waukesha will hold a moment of silence today, marking 1 week since a car drove through a city Christmas parade, killing 6 people and injuring scores of others. A car drove through that parade. They don't identify who the person is. They don't say that it was a person. I don't know if the car is being held on bail or anything like that. They always at CNN, they leave room. See, here's how these things happen. The young interns and the headline writers, the digital folks behind the scenes, they always leave a little room for the term white supremacist in the tweet headlines, but they were kind of stuck on that one, so they didn't know how to replace it. So they just said, yeah, it was a car. It was just a car. That's what happened. But I want to share Jason Whitlock's piece about everything that happened a week ago in Waukesha, because I think that it's important, and I think he points some things out that people need to think about. And I know Ron Johnson a bit, who is one of the senators from Wisconsin, used to be on the show quite a bit. But Jason points out that Wisconsin U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin, who's way, way left, Democrat, and Ron Johnson, who's way, way, way right, released a joint statement Saturday. And what they did is they asked outside groups to stop exploiting the massacre in Waukesha for political purposes. So here's what the letter said. It had come to our attention, or it has come to our attention, that outside individuals or groups may attempt to exploit the tragedy that occurred last Sunday in Waukesha for their own political purposes. As the U.S. senators representing Wisconsin, one from each political party, we're asking anyone considering such action to cease and desist. According to media reports, Jason Whitlock writes, the statement was crafted because some conservative pundits blasted CNN, MSNBC, and other left-leaning media outlets for downplaying the story and were rapidly moving on from it. All right. The bipartisan statement, Whitlock writes, and I think he's right about this, is as pointless as asking infamous bank robber John Dillinger to stop using a Colt 32 pistol. The style of gun didn't make Dillinger an unrepentant criminal. His immorality did. America's fight for political power has descended to a seemingly unprecedented level of immorality. It's true. Ambitious politicians quickly turn human tragedy into political capital. But Jason says the Baldwin-Johnson statement is not only pointless, it's clueless. It epitomizes, this is what I thought was interesting, it epitomizes the kind of cowardly leadership pervasive in American politics. The statement is a virtue signal that pretends diplomacy is the antidote for wickedness, that peace is possible with people who have no regard for objective truth. Why should Waukesha, these are good questions here, why should Waukesha be exempt from the political examination lens that's applied to everything else? I think this is a very good question, because it shouldn't be that way. Would ignoring the political implications of the alleged crimes of Daryl Brooks jumpstart the cleansing of American politics? Jason Whitlock says, I think just the opposite. Failing to fully publicly explore and explain what drove Brooks to commit mass murder would only allow the evil to further metastasize. Now, think about this. There's been no effort on the part of media outlets to do a deep dive. We're a week out. We would have had the Washington Post, the New York Times, you know, the St. Louis Post do this deep dive into what he did and how, of course, if the situation was different, how much of a white supremacist the person might be, how many times they voted for Donald Trump. All these things would be outlined in a story. And then once the print story was out there, CNN, MSNBC, they would all run with it and they'd do their, you know, their particular versions of the same story. It happens every time. Except it didn't happen here. Didn't happen. It's not happening here. And Whitlock's concerned about that in the same way that I think I am. Declining to contrast corporate media's handling of the Waukesha massacre with Charlottesville, January 6th, and the Rittenhouse trial provides unwarranted and unhealthy cover to racists sowing American anarchy and division. I think Jason Whitlock's right. The alleged sins and radicalization of Daryl Brooks must be scrutinized thoroughly, aggressively, publicly. This isn't about settling a score between conservatives and liberals. It's about assessing the cost of mainstreaming and normalizing critical race theory and gangster rap across our primary communication and information platforms. Daryl Brooks, I want to make it clear to people who aren't clear. Jason Whitlock is black, okay? I can't write or say what Jason Whitlock says. I'd be canceled, but he can say it. He says, Daryl Brooks appears to be a direct reflection of what the American zeitgeist, spirit of the time, says a black man should be. Angry, emotional, profane, violent, racist, criminal. A racist would argue Brooks was born this way. A liberal would argue that poverty and anti-black racism molded Brooks into a monster. Having been born black and poor in America, I would argue that the zeitgeist has maintained a culture that rewards black men for exhibiting emotion, anger, violence, profanity, racism, and criminality. Think about that. Let me repeat that line. Jason Whitlock says, as a black man born in America, very poor, he would argue that the zeitgeist has maintained a culture that rewards black men for exhibiting emotion, anger, violence, profanity, racism, and criminality. Corporate media, Hollywood, the music industry, social media apps are the maintainers of this intentionally crippling culture. Just think about the music industry. You don't have to go any further than that. It's why left-leaning news platforms, Hollywood movies, commercial rap, music, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook smear any black men who criticize the self-destructive tenets of black culture as coons, Uncle Toms, and sellouts. Is there a particular political party in bed with CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, Hollywood, the rap music industry, and big tech? That's where you got that little, the emoji with the guy sort of putting his hand on his chin, right? I wonder if there is. Is there a particular political party that believes its ideology defines blackness? Let me think about that. You guys think out there, and we'll see if we can come back to that in a second. This is where I think Whitlock is absolutely correct, and I'm disappointed that it hasn't. The Waukesha massacre needs to be politicized. The racist political strategy of the Democratic Party helped radicalize Daryl Brooks. The Democrats told black people a government check could replace the black father. The Democrats tell black people that the matriarchy is better than the patriarchy, which is just stunning. The Democrats tell black people to see themselves as perpetual victims of an irredeemably racist country rather than as conquerors of America's sins. The Democrats tell black people to abandon our religious beliefs in pursuit of political power. The Democrats convince black people that obedience to Barack Obama could do more for us than obedience to God. Jason Whitlock is a very, religious person. He's a man of faith, so he does reference his spirituality often. The Democrats, he said, tell us to treat skin color and sexual preference as idols, more important than our identity in Christ. Can't argue with him on that. You hear more about skin color and gender than anything else from the Democrats. Those are the pinnacles. And that is the place that they worship. Daryl Brooks' social media post. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. You don't know this. You don't know this because you haven't been told, because the New York Times and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, they don't want to report this. His social media posts read like a Black Lives Matter diary. He hated the police. He called for violence against white people. He praised Hitler. He bragged about being a pimp. He was a rapper that was known as Math Boy Fly. He promoted drug use and criminality. You ain't Democrat if you ain't Daryl Brooks, Whitlock says. Now, he admits, he knows that it makes sense for corporate media and the other gatekeepers of black culture to bury that story. They want to avoid accountability. They can't explain why a black man mowing down and killing six white people, even though CNN still thinks it was a car, is less sinister and racist than a white man killing one white woman in Charlottesville. They can't explain their outrage and animus toward Kyle Rittenhouse and indifference to Daryl Brooks. They can't explain immediately casting everyone involved with January 6th as a white supremacist while searching for additional proof of Brooks' bigotry. It's amazing, isn't it? And Jason Whitlock and a few others are the only ones calling him out.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.